844-5600, but right now we're closed off on those for a very special guest. Always love having him on to talk some Vandy boys baseball. Andrew Algretta, you can follow him on Twitter at @AAlgretta. Definitely go give him a follow. First off, Andrew, let's get you verified on Twitter, my man. I feel like, you know, we got Bruno here who's verified on Instagram and on Twitter. Like, you're the voice of the Vandy boys. Why are you not verified yet?
Not everybody can be a professional football player. I strive
to. Yeah, not even me.
Yeah, that is a tough road to hoe, I guess. So, but I'm gonna fight for that. I'm gonna fight to get you verified soon.
I appreciate that. My world will keep spinning with or without the blue check mark, but if it's there, that's a pleasant surprise. So, I empower you, Zach.
See, I don't like this whole you're taking the high road. You don't need this to fulfill your life. I need you to join the ranks of people like me that we're gonna live or die off getting that verified badge. All right, I gotta have somebody else in this battle with me.
I think it's a farce and a joke that I've not been verified, and I'll fight this tooth and nail.
There we go. That's the sound bite. We're sending that to Twitter right now. Go ahead and clip that, Ray. We'll get it over. So you're in Arkansas right now. We're going to talk about Arkansas, Vandy boys. I want to go back to Tuesday night against Indiana State, a game that I joked about on air against the Sycamores that I thought, you know, this is just another Tuesday night beat-up fest that the Vandy boys are going to cross off their list and move on. Well, I mean, that did not go that way, as it goes to 11 innings, and it's an 8-7 finish in that one, and honestly, probably one of the most exciting finishes that we've seen so far with this Vandy boys team. Is that a case of Indiana State being much better than what we thought they were going to be, just being a smaller school compared to Vanderbilt, or a case of Vanderbilt not quote-unquote looking past the game, but not taking full advantage of what that game was?
I think it's mostly the first thing. We can touch on Vanderbilt for a second, right? So Bryce Cunningham got the start, did not have his best stuff. And then Vandy struggled to get its offense going for a while, had a couple of opportunities, didn't capitalize. So there are things that I would suspect Coach Corbin would say they left on the table. On the flip side of that, Indiana State had been a top 100 RPI team throughout the course of most of the season. They just fell out of the top 100 recently, but they're still a darn good program. And then the thing that I think Vandy boy fans would probably underscore is the fact that they've been to Hawkins Field each of the past couple of regionals, right? So they're not intimidated. They know the scene. It's a lot of upperclassmen that played in those regionals. So for them, coming back to this place, there was a high motivation to be successful in Hawkins Field, considering what they've been through. So I think it's probably most the Indiana State thing. But, I mean, you can't duck the fact that clearly Vanderbilt missed a couple of opportunities. Bryce Cunningham didn't have his best stuff right out of the gates, all of that sort of stuff. So, you know, it is what it is to an extent, but you got out of there with a victory. And at this point in time, you've only lost one midweek game throughout the course of the entire season, and that one was to somebody that's going to host a regional and potentially a super regional in Louisville.
Yeah, talk about the finish now to that one with Enrique Bradfield. First off, because once again, you know, we've talked about it before, I love the inner workings of the business, if you will, play-by-play. And so I'm not been to your level, obviously, but I've done enough to where I get the gist of what's going on in a baseball game where action comes few and far between sometimes, depending on the rhythm of the game. You can get a long while where it could just be a very easy pop fly out, and you go a couple innings without any big plays. How do you, as a play-by-play guy, watch that, you know, for the Enrique Bradfield steal that ends up winning that game? You don't see a lot of stolen home plates. Do you think, like, when you look for that, do you look for that because it's Enrique, or were you looking, or were you completely shocked by that happening?
I wasn't shocked, and I'm not trying to say that to say, you know, I knew it was coming. I think I told this to somebody else, I think earlier today, that whether or not I knew that Enrique was going to steal, which very clearly I did not know, I think Enrique demands that you pay attention to him on the bases. Just as a fan, as a broadcaster, and it should be a pitcher, but bless the freshman for Indiana State that was trying to navigate his way through that particular situation, and all of a sudden he wasn't. he just demands that you pay attention to him. So I was watching Enrique as he started to run. Not because I thought he was going to steal, but again, you have to keep your eyes on that guy. So, you know, from a broadcasting standpoint, I think you're situationally aware, right? Not to go too far down the rabbit hole, guys, but you're talking about a game of baseball where, generically speaking, the first couple of innings, you kind of set up what is happening. The middle innings allows you the freedom to tell some stories or get into some other notes and facts and whatever. And then the back half of the game, you get pretty locked in situationally. So in that situation, in the ninth, in the 11th, whatever, you're fairly focused on the situation and what the infielders are doing, what the base runners are doing. So, you know, you're prepared to ramp it up. But baseball can sneak up on you because you can be plodding along at like a 1 or a 2, and all of a sudden you've got to function at a 9 or a 10. So you just got to be mindful of that.
Talking with Andrew Algretta, voice of the Vandy Boys. If you want to go on Twitter and follow him, it's at A Algretta, soon to be verified. We're going to make that a new mission here at the afternoon stretch. All right, now let's switch our focus here. You're in Arkansas right now. I think people are more shocked to find out that Arkansas, pretty good at baseball as well. They're no slouch, number 4 in the country right now. Talk to me a little bit about what this series means for Vanderbilt.
So for Vanderbilt at this point in time, I think, and I don't want to put words in the mouth of anyone part of the NCAA selection committee, but Vanderbilt at this point is scratching to host a regional. I think everyone has a high care level that they put postseason baseball back in Hawkins Field. At this point in time, you're talking about 2 weekends left. You've got Arkansas on the road. You've got LSU back at home. Those are both two very well-regarded teams. Obviously, you're talking about the number 1 team in the West in Arkansas, the number 2 team in the West in LSU as it currently stands. So if you're Vanderbilt and you're looking to host a regional, you've got a good resume. You're 24 in the country, which is iffy, but your RPI is 4 or 5. You're 4-4 in SEC series. Well, you probably need to get out of the next 2 weekends going 4-2. And winning each of the next 2. So that's a tall task in this place against this opponent. So they're going to have to be at their best. The energy level has been high. They've played well the past couple of weekends. Yes, they lost to Texas A&M, but you're talking about a road series victory against Georgia, road series victory against Kentucky. They've won some series down the stretch here to get themselves into a position where if they're successful these next couple of weekends, they can put postseason baseball back at the Hawks.
And, you know, something I we're going to continue about Arkansas when you're looking at this matchup directly with Vanderbilt, where you're seeing, how do you feel this two teams match up so far from what you know? Because, you know, this is, we've talked about this before in the past, SEC baseball, I think, is got to a new level, not only just in each team individually, but just the competitive level has been so strong that there's going to be even whether it's an easy series or not, whatever people would say, quote unquote, is an easy series. It doesn't matter who you're playing. If they're an SEC school team, SEC caliber team, especially at this point in the season, throw the rankings out, throw the numbers out. It's always going to be a barn burner in a tough game for either side. How do you feel these two teams match up wise, pitching to hitting wise?
I think it's an interesting matchup. At least statistically, it would say that the two teams are fairly similar. You're talking about an Arkansas team that, typically speaking, has been driven by their pitching staff, which I would say Vanderbilt, for the most part, has been that as well. The pitching and the defense have been at the forefront of the success when Vanderbilt has had it. And then the offense has players, has talents, and every now and then it comes and goes. We've all had our personal heartburn about the runners and scoring position situation for Vanderbilt, right? I've not looked at it at this exact moment, but it was floating around about 260, 270 with runners in scoring position in conference play. And, you know, we all threw our arms up like it's got to be bad. Well, Arkansas, despite the fact that they're first in the West, was closer to 220, 230 with runners in scoring position. So they've had their problems. And they've got one of the best and most talented hitters in this entire conference at Robert Moore. And he's hitting .236 this season. And he's going to be a high-level professional baseball player at some point in time. And his numbers have been down this particular season. So I've got no earthly idea on exactly, like, okay, Chris McElveen's slider versus Robert Moore. But in terms of the way the two teams profile, they profile very similarly. And it will be fascinating to see, you know, who has the type of series that can bolster their team and get them over the top, and whether you take two out of three or you sweep, whatever. There's a lot of similarities between these two teams, at least I think so statistically and on paper.
Talking with the voice of the Vandy Boys, Andrew Algretta. Let me go to a big picture kind of situation here with Vanderbilt now with you. I asked you a long time ago, all the way at the beginning of the season, many months ago now, a question, and I'm going to re-ask that question. The question was, at that time, who are you looking at surprising you as you go throughout the season? You gave me a name then. I want to follow that up now with, so far to this, with now, you know, two SEC series left, essentially. You know, we're in the end game now of the season. Who has so far surprised you that you didn't expect from those Vandy boys, good or bad? Either way.
Do you remember what name I gave you? Because there was one particular name that I felt pretty good about going into the season that I thought was going to take a jump. Is that the guy that I gave you?
It'll jog my memory.
See, I at the start of the season thought Spencer Jones was going to take that jump. And I don't get things right very often, but Spencer has had one heck of a season. One absolute heck of a season. In terms of people that have surprised me throughout the course of the season, you know, even though you take Spencer as someone that you think can make a jump, then you see it actually work out in person, and it's pretty impressive to watch. You know, and we do all of this talk, Zach, sometimes about, okay, here's the up-and-comer in Spencer Jones, or here's the electrifying Enrique Bradfield Jr., or here's the freshman sensation Carter Holton. And all Dom Keegan does every single weekend is show up and produce somehow. So the consistency of Dom Keegan has been remarkable. He is such a talented player. He is also very humble and very much a part of the team. He comes back. He wants to prove himself as a catcher. He gets plenty of reps at the catching position, and he has verified the fact that he can play multiple positions. But we've gotten ourselves to this point in the season where Coach Corbin, more often than not, needs Dom at first base for Bolger to catch because Dom's defense is good at first base. So all of a sudden, Dom is being asked to do something at the end of the season, which is counter to part of the reason that he came back. And he's done it calmly, professionally, and continued to produce. Had three home runs against Georgia. So if you're asking about surprises, the fact that Dom has been good is not a surprise. The fact that he's been remarkably consistent and so frequently with this offense at times asked to carry the bulk of the run producing, and he has, considering everybody knows his skill set, that part is extra impressive and maybe a touch surprising too for Dom.
What has been your favorite part so far of this season? Because it's still not done. The regular season's still going. And, you know, obviously we're going to get into post-play. There's going to be more there. But so far out of, you know, the time that you've had this season, what's been either, you know, and it doesn't have to be directly a baseball inside game kind of thing. It could be, you know, something about visiting one of the cities or anything like that. What's been something that stuck out so far to you?
In terms of games, the no-hitter against Kentucky, I think, is first. I think anytime you get the opportunity to be around a no-hitter, and we've seen great things, right? Three walk-offs at this point. Jack Bolger had one. Tate Colwick had one. Now Spencer Jones has one. But no-hitters are just something else. So in terms of on the field, to be a part of that no-hitter situation, it's at Kentucky a couple of weeks ago, that's first class, and that stays burned in your brain, especially as a broadcaster. You know what? This isn't surprising at all, but I think for me personally, just to now actually step into a situation when you talk with Coach Corbin on a regular basis for our pregame conversations, to travel with him, to get to know Maggie a little bit. I recognize that most people in Nashville, especially the ones close to the Vandy Boys program, have known this for 20-plus years now. But for me personally, to interact with him on a day in and day out basis, it's fun. I mean, I'm so captivated by the way he thinks, very analytical, very thoughtful. I appreciate the way he goes about baseball, the way he goes about, you know, program building and what he cares about and all of that sort of stuff. It's been a total pleasure to, and I'm not blowing smoke, right? I mean, like, there's a lot of legendary coaches and all of that sort of stuff. And, you know, I jumped into a ship that was, you know, speeding down the waters, or I jumped in a Ferrari that was, you know, already at top speed. I didn't get thrown into a camp of a bunch of people as we tried to build something. This Ferrari was speeding down the road, and he welcomed me in as it was speeding. That's been a wonderful, wonderful plus to this whole experience.
You know what's been very wonderful is you joining this show. We're going to get you on before the playoffs start, and we're gonna say even before the regionals, because we're going to be hosting a regional. We're just going to speak it into life, right? You're going to be hosting it here in the Hawks, so it'll be a nice, fun time. Remember, you're going to be able to hear Andrew Algreta right here on this very station, 6:15 tomorrow when they start off their series against Arkansas. So we appreciate you, Andrew, for jumping on with us.
Hey, thank you, guys, and I appreciate you guys. Every now and then, you guys have to bump or slide or whatever for our game, so we appreciate that, too.
Hey, I'm happy to move for a legend, all right? That's yeah. always going to be in my contract, yeah. all right?
Yeah. An unverified legend.
Soon to be, though. Soon to be.
Uh-huh.
Hey, appreciate it, Andrew.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, remember, follow him on Twitter, A.A. Algreta, at A.A., or it's just one A, at A. Algreta, but he's got two A's, so it makes you think that. Once again, that series schedule coming up for